podcast. This is my podcast. This is my podcast. Hey, everybody. This is my podcast. This is my podcast. So suck it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to podcast six, I think. I think this is six. I don't know. I subscribe to my podcasts. I don't really ever listen to them, so I think subscribing to them and listening to them is like, it's me just sitting here talking, so it's kind of like podcast masturbation or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, sitting here listening to myself talk. It's funny, because even whenever I leave like a message on my phone, or if I do like the Say Now stuff or whatever on the phone for Bowling for Soup, and it always says, you know, click pound or whatever to review. And I'm like, I don't think I can sit there and listen to that, to be honest. I really don't. Anyway, thank you very much for downloading and listening so far. And yes, you guessed it. I am a little bit under the weather. I actually did go to the doctor today. Today is 2-2-2. Today is 2-2-2, which I tweeted this morning, but Mitch Hedberg, the late awesome comedian, had a joke that was like, I wish my number was just a bunch of twos. I think that's how he starts. He goes, that way somebody'd be like, give me your number. And I'd be like, just start pressing two. And when I pick up, stop. Anyway, that's pretty funny. Anyway, it reminded me of him this morning. I had a little moment where I was sort of wishing, not sort of, but wishing that he was still here. Mitch Hedberg, if you haven't ever gotten into him, should definitely check it out. He was an awesome, awesome, cutting edge, way just beyond anybody else at the time comedian. He was just really, really great. But anyway, I am under the weather, and I know the big joke is that I only do podcasts when I'm sick. And here's the honest truth. When I start these things, usually I have like an allergy thing about to happen. I have really bad allergies, and they were worse when I was a kid, and I had childhood asthma, and just a freaking mess as a child, you know? I was going to go somewhere else with this, and I forget that probably not everybody thinks all the shit that I talk about is funny, so I'll stop there. But anyway, so I have really bad allergies, and the funny thing is that every time I go to so I went to the doctor today, and she says, have you been traveling at all? And I just look like, are you serious? You know, and I guess evidently if you have allergies, the worst thing you can do is travel. But to me, it's like allergies should be, it's like a stuffed up nose. Stopped up. Is it stopped or stuffed? Anyway, you can't breathe out of your nose and then you sneeze, you know, and then, but like I'm coughing and I like, you know, like beyond belief. I actually have it under control right now, which is why I decided to actually do this. Anyway, so for those of you who think it's funny that I only do podcasts when I'm sick, I'm on prescription medication and ill today. So anyway, podcast six, thanks for tuning in. I don't really have an agenda for today. I was going to talk a little bit about the tour that we've been on. The West Coast was just amazing, and then back through the Midwest and Boise and Denver. That's not the Midwest, but, you know, as we got into, like, Omaha and Kansas City, all those shows were just so good. We had, like, one of the best L.A. shows we've ever had, and outside of House of Blues. But the thing is that these podcasts are really hard to do on the road because I'm never by myself, and I feel funny talking into a recording device sitting in front of people. So normally when I do these things, I'm like running around doing a bunch of shit, and then I just sit down and turn this thing on and just start talking with no agenda. And this has just been one of those times. So here I am, podcasting it up. But anyway, those of you who came to the big rock and roll show over the last few weeks, thanks very much. It definitely was a lot of fun. It was cool to meet new people and see a bunch of familiar faces. That was cool. And obviously we're heading out for the East Coast. We start in Birmingham, Alabama, go into Florida, and then on up the East Coast and down, and then back here for South by Southwest for the Crappy Records Showcase. which will happen on March the 20th at the Cedar Door in Austin. So if you're coming to South by Southwest, please make plans to see us at the Cedar Door with Perry Grip and Linus of Hollywood and Bang Bang and other awesome artists. Kay Flay will be making an appearance that night as well. So should be lots of fun. Anyway, I don't really even know what to talk about today. This weekend was my son's fourth birthday, and the funny thing is I think every kid in the suburbs is either born in September or January through March, and I don't know what that says about like when people are humping. I haven't really sat down to do the math, but evidently that's when people like to do it to each other.
Yeah.
And at those times in order to conceive. And this obviously there's a margin of error here. I'm not taking premature babies into consideration or, you know, anything like that. I just I mean I don't want to get too scientific here. It's freaking I'm just talking, you know, like I'm not trying to don't give me any shit about what month people are doing it. I don't even know what I'm talking about right now. But anyway, so we had like three birthday parties besides his this weekend. So like I was literally surrounded by little kids, and I do little kids really well. I like little kids. But it's really strange that my little girl turned 7 last month, and then my little boy is 4. And today I was talking to him on the phone and he said, "Hey Dad, I wish you were home." And I said, "Well, I am home." And he goes, "Oh, well, okay, should I turn you off now?" And I'm like, "What?" He goes, "Should I turn you off?" And what he meant was, "Should I hang up and just see you when I get home?" So evidently, from now on, whenever you hang up with somebody, you should be like, "Okay, I'm going to turn you off now," and then just hang up. That's evidently what you do when you're 4. All right, so today, let's get into, just something that's been burning a hole in my ass, is those of you who downloaded the Christmas or the post-Christmas podcast that are giving me shit about how people down south freak out when there's a little bit of snow and how it just makes you guys laugh. Listen, I think the shit is funny too when the city shuts down when there's 2 inches of snow, but I don't know if you listened to the story. I was in the middle of nowhere freaking Texas, and we had 9 inches in 3 hours, and they're not prepared for anything like that. So don't tweet me about how funny it is that I'm freaking out about a little snow. It's not like I'm fucking driving a front end loader around like you fuckers in Minnesota. You know what I mean? Give any shit about that. Boy, I'm swearing a lot here. Seriously, man. I got like a bunch of people giving me grief about how funny it is that I don't know how to deal with the snow. And I'm like, look, I deal with snow. I don't care. Like, my whole thing was I was going to drive. I just ended up in a ditch. Well, no, I didn't end up in a ditch. I got stuck at a stop sign, and then my dad and his neighbor made sure I made it into the ditch. So if you haven't heard that podcast, I think it's podcast number 4. You can hear the story of my Christmas where I sort of gave you the Reader's Digest version. I don't even think I got too far into it, but that's months ago, and now it's just a good story, you know. For the thing is that my mom hears me talk about it, and now she thinks I don't ever want to come for another holiday again. It's not that. It's just, you know, next time if the frickin' electricity is off, maybe text me, you know, email, whatever. I get all that shit on my phone, you know. Just let me know what's going on. So lots and lots of people giving me suggestions about my podcast, and for the most part, it's stuff I'm either already doing or stuff that you can kind of read about where it's just like, you know, why don't you talk about stuff you guys do on the bus or, you know, how did you guys form and all this stuff. So, oh shit, hold on, somebody's at the door. All right, I am. I'm back. The funny thing, that was a Girl Scout cookie order delivery. Freaking living in the suburbs, man. It's awesome. So I forgot what I was talking about, but anyway, I think I was talking about how lots of good suggestions, lots of interesting suggestions, and lots of things that I've actually talked about, you know, before that we talk about all the time in like magazine interviews or whatever. But anyway, we'll get to all of it over the course of all of these things, and I definitely have some cool ideas of upcoming podcasts. But I thought today we would just talk about sort of like what we were all doing and how Bowling for Soup came together in a way. We all grew up in a town called Wichita Falls, Texas, and basically Chris had taken over this church-run coffee house, which I make fun of him because I'm like, did you guys ever sell any coffee? And it was actually called the Refuge Coffee House, but they didn't really ever sell any coffee. I think they sold a soft drink or two and maybe a bag or two of M&Ms, Skittles, you know, items like that, quick, spontaneous items. But like, I don't think anybody was going there to drink coffee, but he actually did a really good job at this place. I mean, when he took it over, it was like real sort of just local bands and just kind of get-togethers and things like that. And he turned it into a place where national touring acts would come and play at his place and then go play, and they could make a few hundred bucks, and then they would go play the bar that they were actually in town to play later that night. And I mean, it was a really, really cool idea, and it really worked. But anyway, so all of us played in bands. All of the guys in Bowling for Soup played in bands that played there. And that's pretty much how we met. So my band before Bowling for Soup was called Cool Fork, all lowercase, Cool Fork, all one word with an exclamation point, which kind of lends itself into where people ask all the time why our first albums all had exclamation points afterwards. It's kind of started there with Cool Fork. That was actually part of our name, the exclamation point. And for those of you who don't know, I grew up a metal kid, and I'm going to actually do a history of all the bands I was in, so I won't get into all that today, but I was in metal bands, and I, first of all, hair metal bands, and then into a little bit heavier, and then heavier and heavier, and I ended up being in a somewhat of a death metal band called Terminal Seasons in Wichita Falls. And in fact, when Eric was 16 years old, he had come to a big sort of citywide show that we were doing, and my band was headlining, and a packed house, like a 4-H barn, so it's just like this huge warehouse type thing. And evidently, he walked in with his mom and saw my band come, and the way he describes it is this guy dressed in all black with hair down to his ass, swinging it out around in a circle, singing about being chopped in half and stuff, took the stage. And so he left. And a few years later, he was in a band with me. So interesting little tidbit there that I scared the shit out of Eric a few years before we became a band. But so anyway, I was actually in that band when I started college. And during orientation of college, I met a guy who had just moved into town. His name was Shrub. His actual name was Greg Roundtree. And everybody called him Shrub. And we just got to be really good friends, and he was a bass player, and he started turning me on to different kinds of music. We had interest in music, and some things that we liked were the same, Faith No More and Red Hot Chili Peppers, and he liked a few heavy bands, but he was more into punk rock. And Shrub actually was the first person to turn me on to the Descendants. And I liked Bad Religion then, too, and that was an accidental thing, actually. A guy had sort of bought the Bad Religion album and didn't like it and gave it to me, and I was like, this is actually really cool, but I still didn't even understand really what punk rock was. And so Shrub turned me on to the Descendants first, and then the Ramones, which I had always known who the Sex Pistols were, but I never really knew who the Ramones were. It's just really strange. I mean, I knew Ramones songs, but I didn't know, you know, what I was really hearing. You know, you'd hear a Ramones song in a movie, and it's just like now. I mean, you hear a song in a movie or whatever, and if it's like an old school song or something from the past or whatever, you really, unless you investigate it, you don't really know what the hell it is you're even listening to. So it's funny because kids are being exposed to Dead Milkmen and Iggy Pop and all of these crazy old punk rock legends all the time, and they don't really even know that that's what they're listening to. So that's basically where I was in that whole thing. I just sort of lived in this metal, basically, if it was on Headbangers Ball on MTV, I listened to it. So the anyway, Shrub and I you know, got to be really good friends. And as my band was disbanding and I was doing these other things on the side of Terminal Seasons that, again, I'll get into later on, I mean, we just decided to start a band. And so it was myself and Shrub, and I actually bought a guitar to teach myself how to play, because I'd been a drummer or just a singer up until that point. And basically, we started this band called Cool Fork with Lance Morrell, who would then be the first drummer, original drummer of Bowling for Soup. So basically, we just pretty much played around Wichita Falls. We did a few shows in Fort Worth and Dallas, and played a party or two in Denton, and you know, did really, really well. We actually kind of got made fun of, because I've always been the well, not made fun of by anybody other than just our close friends, but I've always been sort of the marketing guy, in that you start something whenever you're ready to follow through. You know, when you're ready to, you don't play a show until you're ready. So my thing was, man, I want to have an album, I want to have shirts, I want to have, you know, all this stuff and be ready. So we actually rehearsed for a year before we played our first show. And it's funny, because Lance was actually already hanging out at the Refuge all the time, and Shrub and I didn't really. And so people would be like, are you sure you're really in a band? Like, what is this? You guys practice all the time, but you're never, you know, you guys don't ever play. What's the deal? You know, but by the time we played, our stickers were all over the entire city. Everybody, like, we had built up such a buzz about ourselves throughout town that our first show was sold out. And in fact, and this is sort of jumping ahead a little bit, Gary Wiseman, who is now the drummer of Bowling for Soup, was in the audience that night and would only actually miss one Bowling for Soup show in our whole sort of tenure as a band. So I used to call him Green Day Dude, because he had a Green Day shirt on, and I thought that was really super cool that, you know, this guy's got a Green Day shirt on. How do you even know who that is? You know, like, we're in Wichita Falls, Texas, and we thought we were really cutting edge, but evidently there was a few kids that were actually in the know. So, you know, our thing kind of caught on there, even though, and we didn't sound like anybody. And but anyway, I want to play you guys a song off of the first Cool Fork album. We did two over our 2 years. We were together 2 years. And we did two albums and recorded them all ourselves. This is on 4-track. And by the way, all the music you're going to hear today was done on 4-track. And those of you who don't know that, what that is, it means it was not done in a studio. This is like bare bones minimum, like a couple of mics up on the drums and you just go. And so anyway, I'm going to play you a song. I can't decide which one to play you. So I'm going to play you Movie. This is a song called Movie. This is the very first song I ever wrote that we would play in front of people and I would see people singing the words to. And I was just like, that is the freaking coolest thing I have ever seen. So anyway, this is Movie by Cool Fork, recorded in 1991. Enjoy.
If they made a movie of my life, what would it include? Lots of food and lots of sleep. Emotion.
That was a movie by my very first punk rock band, Cool Fork. It's funny how those lyrics are still so true, you know? It's pretty amazing. But anyway, so through being in Cool Fork, we Lance, our drummer, actually played in another band called Slaw, and that was with Chris Burney and Eric Chandler. So I knew Chris Burney from school. I was his brother's age, and you know, we kind of ran around with a few similar friends. We never hung out, but I knew who he was, and you know, so we got to know each other a little bit through the Refuge. But I had no idea who this Eric Chandler guy was, and so. Anyway, they had this band called Slaw, and I never actually saw that band play, but I've seen videos of it, and it's really, really funny stuff. They were pretty nuts. They threw food on the audience and, you know, just did all kinds of crazy hijinks and whatnot. But anyway, Chris played bass, and Eric played acoustic guitar for a band called the Polka Dots. And every once in a while, Lance would sit in with them and play drums, and that's sort of how I even heard who this band was. And I give them a lot of shit about this band, but I do kind of want it to, or not kind of, I want it to be known that I was actually a really big fan of them. But, you know, when I went to see them, you know, here I am coming out of this metal band, and now I'm in this punk rock band, and, you know, Eric would wear one of those shirts. I forget what they're called. I wish he was here to tell me, but you know how you know, those shirts you used to buy down in the Bahamas, they're, like, really big, and hippies wear them? He would have that on and no shoes, and Chris would be dressed up really nice, and they'd have candles on stage, and, you know, like I said, barefooted. It's like, anytime a band is barefooted for some reason, I think it's hilarious. I don't know why. It's just like, I mean, if you're going to do karate, take your shoes off. I mean, if you're going to swim, no shoes. Seriously, even there's a few things. I'm walking down the beach, of course, no shoes. But if you're going to play a rock and roll concert, let's put some shoes on. I mean, people have peed on that stage, thrown up, spilled beer. You know, I'm sure that after the show, there's been spooge put on there. It's all dried up. Now you're stepping in it. You're taking that DNA. You're going to put that DNA in your shoes is what you're going to do. And then just spread it out all over the place. Because each time you put your feet on the DNA, you don't get all the DNA off. So every time you take them off, it's like in a different room. And these people are coming over to my house and shit, you know? So now I got spooge pee barf DNA coming from the club stage to the house. And it's like, shit, I got a dog, man. That dog's going to lick that up. Then he's going to poop it out, and we're just spread. It's starting the whole circle of life again, you know? I mean, that's just too much. That's too much science for me. So leave your shoes on, is what I'm saying. Because your shoes don't track any of that stuff anywhere. The DNA doesn't stick to the bottom of shoes, just so you guys know. It's something that I just found out, but it's true. Anyway, they were called the Polka Dots, like polka dots, but folk dots. And the first time I saw him, I was just absolutely blown away. Again, I poke fun at certain elements of sort of what they were doing, but only just because they were my friends and stuff, and they would do the same thing to me. But I was really blown away by just sort of the way that they had this cool vibe to them, and Eric was listening to a bunch. I mean, I had been exposed to like REM and bands like that, of course, just sort of randomly, but he listened to a whole different side of music than I did, and you know, was exposed to a lot of those things really early. And so, like, the musicality of what he was doing, I was just like, this is really, really fucking cool. And so anyway, I basically went to all the Polka Dot shows, and all of his songs had like a certain spirituality about them. And not that they were like a religious band or anything, but just there were these cool sort of like spiritual undertones. And I don't want to get too heavy here, but you know, he just, it was, just, they were just a really, really cool band and fun to go see and stuff. So, I did go basically see all of their shows and, became a really, really big Polka Dots fans. They also did two albums. They did, the Cool Fork albums were Cool Fork 1, Cool Fork 2. Obviously we just were burning cassettes on a computer, or not on a computer, on a double cassette thing. We didn't have a computer back then. And the Polka Dots did the same thing. They had the Polka Dots self-titled and then an album called Connect the People. And it's hard for me to decide which Polka Dots album to play for you because, you know, they're all great, you know, so, or did I say album? Song, I mean. They're all good, but I think it's the there's one that in particular to me that it, and again, this one I don't think this is the one that, that Eric or Chris would probably pick for me to play for you to represent their band. And we can get into other Polka Dot stuff too, because if you have the first Bowling for Soup album, there's a song called Psycho and there's a song called Sofa, and those two in particular, I guess, or and there's a song called Oliver. All three of those songs were Polka Dot songs that basically we took and made them into the style of Bowling for Soup. So if you're in, on our street team or whatever, and you have access to that first self-titled album, you know those were Polka Dot songs again that were adjusted, taken, spawned into Bowling for Soup songs. But anyway, the song that I want to play for you by the Polka Dots is the reason that we're here. And I think it's the reason we're here. Hold on, I should verify that because I don't want to be the asshole that like says it wrong or whatever, and then like you know somebody freaking mess with me about it, you know, because that's the last thing. So this is me just talking, trying to. Oh, it's called The Reason We're Here. But anyway, this song actually features Eric's dad singing back vocals at the end. So you know, it's just kind of a cool thing to sort of hear where Eric was going as a songwriter here at just such an early age. I think he's like 17 years old here, and you'll be able to hear that in his voice. And anyway, this is Chris and Eric in their band before Bowling for Soup called the Polka Dots. This is The Reason We're Here. Enjoy.
But should not be feared. There's an eternal purpose that I will soon make clear. We spend our lives making other people's feelings not so near. I'll tell you now, to love your brother is the reason that we're circle be unbroken.
awesome. That again was Eric and Chris's band, the Folkadots, with "The Reason We're Here." And again, just I'm not sure that that is the most representative song, as even the movie song by Kool Fork. You know, I mean, I gotta pick one from each and lay that out there for you. So, anyway, we can get into more stuff, that stuff. And but that sort of leads us to Gary. And as I said, Gary was just a kid that, you know, played in a band first called Bully Tree. And Bully Tree had a friend of ours called Justin Smith and Cody Garcia and another friend of ours, Matt. And Matt Morris. And they were all really super young. Justin was a little older than the rest of the guys. And they were called Bully Tree, and they were a great band. And in fact, when I was starting Bowling for Soup, I had pretty much set my sights on Eric already. And I was just like, dude, I want to start a band with two singers. We'll have two lead singers. It'll be great. You know, and he sort of hem-hawed. He stood me up a couple of times, and I sort of gave up. And then, you know, it kind of started to happen. And when it did, Cody Garcia from Gary's band is the first guy I asked to play guitar. And he was just like, I don't know. I'm thinking about going off to college. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, well, that's cool. And so, you know, a week later, Chris and I discovered drinking beer together as we were recording the Kool Fork 2 album just as we were breaking up, and hit it off, and we decided that that would be the path we'd go. But that being said, they were just an amazing band, and especially, you know, Justin Smith actually went on to be in a band called Big Lou, and just an awesome singer-songwriter guy. And Cody and Matt and Gary then would continue on as a band for years and years. And they just kind of went through singer after singer. And, you know, we just basically any friend we have, we would, you know, hey, you should try singing for these guys. And they were just amazing. If you're into Descendants and all and stuff like that, I mean, these guys seriously would practice for 6 hours a day and all this just really super technical stuff. And you know, it just badass. And I remember seeing them. We had them open up for us once in Denton after Bowling for Soup had really kind of taken off in the Dallas area. And I remember saying to Gary, "Hey, you know, when Lance quits, we're gonna steal you." And he was like, "Okay." And that actually would happen a few years later. Lance left the band. And it was nothing bad or anything like that. He basically left the band because he missed his family and just touring, and especially back then it was really hard. I mean, in the van and no cell phones yet, no computers yet, and, you know, just sleeping on floors and that was 10 months a year. So that really wasn't for him. And it was cool. It was a good split. But I called Gary from our practice place phone and said, you know, would you even be interested in this? And he was in college, and he was like, yes. So he talked to his mom, and he dropped out of college to join Bowling for Soup. So, they had kind of gone on to this. Bully Tree had just kind of kept on as a band, and Chris, as they were looking for a new name, Chris said, you guys should call yourself Gary and the Wiseman, and that kind of stuck. So they called themselves Gary and the Wiseman, and man, they were a great band, but just could never find a singer that would stay. So one day, Chris was actually recording their album, and he was like, hey, do you want to try to write lyrics, melody to this song that they have? And I was like, sure, I'll write lyrics and melody to this song. So I wrote them this song to music that was already there, and it's called My Girl. And later, they would put this song on their album and not credit me, which I am still, if this album ever gets picked up and, like, sells a bunch of copies, it's sort of my nest egg. Like, I'm thinking if this thing ever gets picked up, I'm suing the shit out of somebody, and I'm getting mine. You know what I mean? Now, I give Gary shit about that all the time, but even anytime anybody brings one of those up for him to sign, like they find a Gary and the Wiseman album, I'll be like, hey, you know, I wrote this song in here, but it doesn't say anything about it. And Gary feels bad about it because he didn't have anything to do with it. But anyway, it's fun to just give him shit. They were just an amazing band, and we tried to help them every chance we could get, and basically they were together until Gary joined up with us. So this song is a song that I wrote and didn't get credit for, This song is called My Girl by Gary and the Wiseman. Enjoy. That was it, Gary and the Wiseman, My Girl. I hope you guys have enjoyed this brief look into Bowling for Soup history. I definitely will do it more in depth at a later time. It's just needed to get a podcast out there, and I thought this would be a cool one to do really quick. And you know, again, they're just, these are really hard to do from the road, but we're starting to break the touring up a little bit. So we'll try to do it a little bit more often coming up. And I really, really just want to thank you guys, everybody who's subscribed to this, and please spread the word as you have, and follow me on Twitter, JARET2113. If you guys haven't joined our Say Now hotlines, you should. It's a pretty cool deal. In the U.S., call 214-666-6228, 214-666-6228. In the U.K., call 020-331-8-4516. That's 020-331-8-456. And I'm going to start leaving more messages on that thing and doing that. So, anyway, I just want to thank you guys so much for listening to these podcasts. They really are a lot of fun for me to do, and I know most of the time it's just me sitting here talking to myself, but I do think that doing it without an agenda seems a little bit more genuine than maybe some others that kind of are just reading off a cue card or whatever. I just made that up. I don't even know what other podcasts sound like, whether even they would use freaking cue cards or not. I don't know. But anyway, I enjoy sitting here talking to you guys, and I appreciate all the awesome feedback. Keep it coming, and I hope that we see you guys all on the road very, very soon. I have so much news for you guys coming up in the next few weeks of what Bowling for Soup is up to and what we're all up to individually. I just can't even wait to get it all out there. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and close down. Freaking love you guys, and be safe. Keep it between the ditches.
Hey, everybody. This is my podcast. This is my podcast. This is my podcast. my podcast.